Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm reading from Matthew 25, verses 14 through to 30. Again, it would be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent. Each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even when he has, will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
On 21st of February, earlier this year, Billy Graham passed away at the age of 99. Billy Graham first became internationally known in the 1940s through his radio ministry and through the evangelistic crusades that he would run, and he had a ministry that expanded over the next 60 plus years or so. He was the spiritual advisor to every US president from Harry Truman through to Barack Obama. It's estimated that over the course of his 60 plus years of ministry and the crusades that he did, the preaching crusades, not the invade the Holy Land kind, over the course of that 60 years of crusades alone, he spoke to over 210 million people in 185 different countries. It's estimated that about 3.2 million people made their first commitment to Christ at one of Billy Graham's rallies or events. He's friends with Queen Elizabeth II. It's an amazing life of service to God. And when his funeral came about, his kids were each given a short window in which to speak and try and say something about their father. And I'm just going to play for you a very short clip here about what his youngest son, Ned, said after his sister had just gone before him. So,
and I followed her my whole life. I was told we have 3 minutes to try to sum up the life of my father, Billy Graham. I'm going to take less than 3 minutes because my siblings took a little more. I just want you to know that my father was fat. was faithful, he was available, and he was teachable. And I want each one of you to remember that. Faithful, available, teachable. May we all be that way. And thank each one of you for coming and giving us this honor and the honor to my Father. Thank you.
Billy Graham probably has preached the gospel to more people than anybody else in human history. He was a man of great presence and talent. You see something of his presence just in the presence of his son, that tall person, the baritone voice. His ministry skills were numerous. He had all sorts of talents and abilities that God used in all sorts of different ways. But when his youngest son was given a chance to sum up something of his father's incredible life, he didn't focus on his skills or talents or a story or anything like that. He spoke about his attitude. He spoke about his approach to service and the way that he made himself available before God. If for no other reason than this story alone, this little acronym of a fat Christian would be one worth paying attention to. But as we're going to see as we look at each of these characteristics over the next 3 weeks in this little holiday series that we've got going here, there is real biblical depth and theological weight to each of these characteristics. And if you can own these three characteristics, if you can be faithful, available, and teachable, then you will set yourself up to be used by God in great service to his kingdom and to be equipped by him to grow in your own personal following of Jesus and the responsibility that you carry before the Lord for his honor. It's going to be a fun one. In some ways, it's going to be like eating our spiritual vegetables. There's going to be lots and lots of scripture. It's going to be just chock full of that good stuff that we need to hear. But this is, it's not me preparing veggies. You don't want them, all right? This is the Lord's veggies. These are the things that have got all the good nutrients and everything in it that we need to grow and be healthy and be strong. So I'm keen. I think it's going to be a good one. Like I said, if we can lay hold of this, it's going to help us as a people to be strengthened in our faith and equipped for service to God. So let's jump into this by looking at the definition, if you like, of what it means to be faithful. Today that's the part of the acronym here that we're going to focus on. Now the Bible doesn't give us a specific definition of the word faithfulness, but it's used all over the place. And when we start to put these things together, you do get a sense of what it's all about. Particularly, maybe, most so in this parable that Jesus tells about what the kingdom of heaven is like. We'll go through it again, really quickly together. So it says that the kingdom of heaven is like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 gained 2 more, but the one who had 1 went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. Okay? So just for the record, some of you in the newer translation might have bags of gold. Same thing. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man who had been given 2 talents has the same story. You gave me 2, you entrusted me with 2, and I've gained 2 more, and the same words of reward come from the master. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. But then the man who had received 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I harvest where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. The words of reward that come to these men who have been entrusted with something are given to those who were faithful with the deposit that they had. Faithfulness, okay, is being trustworthy. It's being responsible to carry out the job that you've been given. It's using what you've been given for its good and right purpose. It's keeping your word. It's keeping your promise. And that's what we see in this story. Those who understood that they had been given something, that came with a responsibility, and carried out that responsibility, that were faithful with it, they are rewarded. And though the one who doesn't is called wicked and lazy. The opposite of faithfulness, faithlessness, being unfaithful, is not keeping your word. It's not fulfilling your responsibility. It's falling short. But we can go a little bit deeper in understanding what faithfulness actually is, and we do that by looking where else but at the character of God himself. So we read in the Psalms, where the psalmist speaks of him and says, "Your faithfulness, God, continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it endures." God didn't just create the world and give it life, but he is faithful to sustain that life. Psalm 145. "Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made." God's faithfulness is shown in that he keeps his promises. And then 1 Thessalonians, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." Paul is confident that his prayers will be answered because he knows that the Lord who calls us is faithful to do what he has promised us, to make us holy, to sanctify us. And perhaps the place where God's faithfulness is most evident, where it becomes the biggest focus in all of Scripture, is in the Old Testament, when we look at God's faithfulness to his covenant that he made with his people, Israel. And we see that from the very start, when Deuteronomy here at the start of the covenant, when it's being given again, they declare God to be faithful. "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands." They begin this covenant by declaring God is faithful. And this stands in stark contrast to the fact that his people were not. So it says, "The Lord saw the people's sin and rejected them because he was angered by his sons and daughters. I will hide my face from them," he said, "and see what their end will be. For they are a perverse generation, children who are unfaithful." And it's the same for us today. God has created all of us. He has given us the gift of life. He sustains it. Every breath that we breathe is a gift from him. But we are unfaithful. We don't serve him and worship him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, but rather we seek to put ourselves as kings and queens over our own life. We don't seek to follow him in all that we do, the one that gave us everything that we have. Instead, we rebel against his laws. We break them. And we are unfaithful to the one who has given us everything. And as a result, the penalty for this is meant to be our death. If you're unfaithful to the one who gives the gift of life, then what else could the penalty be except death? But because God is faithful, despite our faithlessness, he acts through Jesus. And through Jesus' faithfulness, we are rescued. So it says in Hebrews 2, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity." Jesus shared in our humanity. "So that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For this reason, Jesus had to be made like his brothers, made just like us in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people." God's faithfulness to us, to love us no matter what, is shown through the faithful sacrifice of his high priest, Jesus. The one who on our behalf became like one of us, was faithful to do what we could not, and kept the law. And through his faithfulness, we are rescued. And because of this, faithfulness is something that applies to all people everywhere. The faithfulness of Christ is the promise of God to us to set us free. But for those of us who believe in Christ, it is particularly for us. And we see that in the way that Paul and the other apostles keep describing the people of God as the faithful ones. So as Paul says at the start of his letter to the Colossians, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. John uses the same language in the book of Revelation. They'll make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them because he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. And it's even the product of the Spirit within us. So Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Are you catching this? If you are not living faithfully as a Christian, you are out of step with the Spirit of God. Because the work of God's Spirit in us comes forth from God's nature, which we've already seen is faithful. The Lord is faithful. His faithfulness is on display in Jesus as his faithful sacrifice to free us and rescue us. And now the work of the Spirit in our life is to produce faithfulness in us. So if we are living unfaithfully as Christians, we are out of step with the Spirit of God that is meant to be living and working and breathing within us. So faithfulness is a big deal. It's a part of who we're meant to be as Christians. It applies to all of us. And yet, it gets even more particular again when you look at Scripture and you see the way that this language is used. Because the language of faithfulness is Paul's go-to language for referring to those who he gives special responsibility to. So the ones that he gives particular ministry assignments, those who he gives a particular trust to, he describes them again and again as being faithful. 1 Corinthians 4. I'm not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I am sending you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in church. When Paul wants to encourage those in Corinth to follow and imitate him, who does he send? His faithful son in the Lord. The one whom he trusts with this message and this assignment. And you see it again and again. Ephesians 6, Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything. So that you also may know how I am and what I'm doing. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Paul has a job, it's a mission, and who does he give it to? A faithful one. Colossians, all over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace and all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. When Paul has something that needs doing, he gives it to a faithful minister, a faithful servant. Our boy Tychicus again will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. Oh, and by the way, he's coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They was telling you everything that is happening here. Okay, you can see the pattern here, right? Faithfulness comes out of the character of God himself. God himself is faithful. He demonstrates that faithfulness to us most clearly through Jesus Christ, our faithful high priest, who fulfills the law for us and does what we could not to rescue us from the power and penalty of sin and death. And then the Spirit works in us to make us a faithful people, but even more than that, there's this particular faithfulness that we show that means that some of us get entrusted with responsibility within the church to do a particular thing. But it's not just for them, it's for all of us. Paul sees his own ministry in light of faithfulness. He says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has given me strength that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Why does Paul think that he's been given the special responsibility to go out and reach the non-Jewish nations of the world that was there when he was alive and well? It's because he believed God found him to be faithful. That God could trust him to do this. And so there's this particular sense of the fact that God honors faithfulness. That faithfulness is important to God in a special way. Peter and John use the same language. With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I've written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. 3 John 5, dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. Again and again, it is the faithful ones who are commended and rewarded, and it is because of this. So then men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Faithfulness is being trustworthy. It's being responsible. It's getting the job done. It's keeping your word. It's fulfilling your promise. That's what we're all meant to be. And perhaps, you know, the principle of this, there's a reward attached to it, is seen at the very end of that parable that we read before. And I just left off the little bit at the end there when I read it again. It says, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, the good news is, because of God's faithfulness to us, because of God's grace to us, because of Jesus' faithfulness, all those who belong to Christ, all those who trust in God, do not need to fear being cast out to the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Through the grace of Christ, we don't need to fear that. But at the same time, this principle is reinforced that for those who are faithful, God will give more. That he honors that. That he trusts those who prove themselves to be faithful. You can see it in the Old Testament as well, in the wisdom of Proverbs. A faithful man will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Now, these aren't promises that it means that if you're faithful that no harm will come to you. Wisdom is found in Proverbs. These aren't promises, but rather they're descriptions of the way things typically work in God's creation. Can you be faithful and still have bad things happen to you? Absolutely. But God's promise to us in that is that he will use those things for our good. But either way, you can see here, again and again, there's a sense in which those who are faithful, those whom God can trust, are honored. And it flows forth from his very nature itself. So the question for us is then, well, if faithfulness is so important, if this is what we're meant to be, if we want to lead and serve well in God's church, well, what does that look like for us? I'm so glad you guys asked. Good job. There's a really helpful verse here in 1 Peter. It says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. It's almost that Peter could have been writing a summary statement to Jesus' parable before about the talents. Think about it. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. others. Now, in the parable of talents, one of the things that we see there is that each person is given something by the master, but they are given something in accordance with their ability. We don't all possess the same gifting. We don't all possess the same amount of talent. There's, I don't think I'm saying anything controversial here. You look around and you see some people are capable of more than others. It might not be, a character thing. It could very much be an age thing. Okay? If I need, to move a stack of chairs, I'm going to go to the 22-year-old before I go to the 82-year-old, right? No offense, guys. But there's different capacity and capability amongst us. Okay? And so, the thing is though, whatever gift you have, whatever ability, then you need to use it to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace. And this is the great thing, because it doesn't matter if you're 82 or 22. The 82-year-old is going to be more faithful in some things than the 22 could ever hope to be. But the important thing is, whatever gift has been given to us, we need to seek to administer God's grace to others. We have all, those who are trusting in Christ here, been given God's grace. We've been given God's grace unto salvation through faith in Jesus. We've been given God's grace in so many other ways that we, experience blessing in this world. But the call to each of us is to take that gift and to be faithful with it to administer God's grace to all who are around us. Some of you are great at making money. It's not like something you necessarily even set out to do, but that's just the gift that God has given you. Some of you are awesome musicians. Some of you are amazing at hospitality. Some of you have attention to detail that I can only imagine what it must be like for your brains to work and see problems that I'm completely oblivious to, and yet still hurt me in so many ways. So some of us have an incredible gift to welcome people and make new friends, and some people, some blessed people, have the ability to work the coffee machine. But whatever gift that we've been given, we're to use it to serve others and administer God's grace. And we do this as a people together. The main way that we seek to do this, obviously, is we seek to tell people about Jesus. To tell them about all that he has done for us. We sing about it here, the musicians, you're involved in that. Okay, it's not just the people teaching and up here on stage though either. It's the people who are welcoming people on a Sunday and bringing them in. It's the people who are giving them a cup of tea and warmly showing them God's love in that sense. It's all the stuff that we do through Connect, to conversations, to kids church, to ESL, to high school ministries, to youth. All of this stuff designed to proclaim the word. And it doesn't matter if you're the one speaking or not. You're using the gifts that God has given you to administer God's grace and serve others. And we do this together as a people. We just finished last week our initial new members course, which went really well, super encouraging. And we read this to these guys because this is essentially the expectation that's on anybody who calls this place their spiritual family. Okay? If you're a member here, if this is your church, this is what the expectation is. It's the duty of members to give faithful attendance on gospel ordinances. Faithful attendance. To give their ministers all due respect, encouragement, and obedience in the Lord, to submit to the session as over them in the Lord, to cherish a brotherly spirit among themselves, and to promote the peace and prosperity of the congregation. It is also the duty of members to take a lively interest in all that concerns the welfare of the whole church, to contribute heartily as the Lord shall enable them, for the maintenance of the ministry and for the furtherance of the gospel at home and abroad, and to manifest a Christian spirit in all relationships of life. That's a lot. It's a good, broad, general statement. It's designed so that lots of stuff can fit underneath it. But on a very, very basic level, concretely, what does that look like? It means regularly coming to church and taking communion. It means respecting, encouraging, and obeying the ministers and the Lord, following sessions, plans for the spiritual welfare of the church and the Lord's sessions, the group of elders here, obviously, loving one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, living in peace with one another, seeking the godly growth of the congregation, coming to church meetings and reading church publications, giving generously with your time, finance, and energy as you are able to see ministries of our church continue and to see the gospel proclaimed locally and globally. It's not that complicated faithfulness, not on a basic sort of level. Like I said, it's being trustworthy, it's being responsible with the gifts that have been given to you. But the trick, I think, can come in the fact that we all do have different capabilities and abilities, and so what I need to be faithful for can be the thing that we need to be really honest about before God and let His Holy Spirit work in our hearts. Because different people in different seasons of life are going to have a different, you know, vision of what faithfulness looks like. So, if you're, you know, 22 and you're at uni and all that sort of stuff, you're probably going to have more capacity, and so faithfulness for you is going to look a little bit different than the person who is, again, in their 80s and doesn't have the same sort of energy and strength and all that sort of stuff. But you know what? The person over here, just because they're in their 80s doesn't mean that they're less valuable. It just means that faithfulness for now is going to look different for them. Prayer. Or serving a different way, or less energy consuming ministries and all that sort of stuff, but you're still being faithful with what you've been given. The 35-year-old, you know, mother of three who's got five kids under six, you know, there's going to be some restrictions on what they're able to do, but they need to be faithful with the responsibilities that they've been given. You know, the empty nesters in their 50s, you know, who, you know, now the kids have moved out, all of a sudden, oh, maybe what faithfulness looks like for me has changed. Again, you know, the small kids in our midst, just because you're in youth doesn't mean that you're not going to be faithful. It's just going to look different. You've got to figure out what that responsibility actually is. And we're going to talk about this a bit more next week when we talk about availability. But this is the thing I want you guys to catch, okay? When we look at that parable of the talents, okay, the words of affirmation, the reward that's given to the guy who has starts with five talents and gives five more is exactly the same as the words that are given to the one who starts with two and brings two more. We don't need to be looking at the person next to us and sort of saying, oh, they're doing this, or I'm not doing that, or I'm going to... It's a question of, okay, what has God given me and how does He want me to use it? That was the thing that the person with one talent completely missed. It wasn't about, you know, just keeping, you know, for myself and keeping safe this thing and protecting me. No, no. It's about growing it, being responsible and taking care of the thing that's been entrusted to me. And like I said, we do this together as a community here at Gosford PC. We're called to serve together, all of us having different gifts, different abilities, but all of us being faithful to serve together so we can complete this mission that God has given us to enable people to become complete followers of Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you that these few weeks that you think about, am I being faithful with the gifts that God has given me? Not, and again, remember, this isn't a condemnation thing. If you can honestly get there and say, you know what, I think I could probably be doing more. I don't think I've been as faithful as I should. Don't dump condemnation on yourself and shame and embarrassment and all that sort of stuff. Remember, Jesus Christ has paid the price for all of our sins and our faithlessness. Don't get stuck in that. But be honest. Repent. And say, you know what, I can do more. And at the same time, if you can't do more, if you're, you know, maybe one point in your life you're a five-talent person, but now you're two, and you just got to be honest about that, don't live in guilt and shame that you're not doing what a five-talent person can do anymore. But whatever gift God has given you, let's seek to be a people who faithfully administer God's grace to those around us, and let's do it as a community of people who have been called to be faithful together. And let's pray for that now. Father, thank you so much for your faithfulness to us. Thank you, Lord, that even though we have been unfaithful, that your faithfulness never ceases. That, Lord, you have shown us your faithfulness in Jesus Christ and in his faithful sacrifice upon the cross to pay the price for our sins and to set us free from the curse of sin and death. And thank you, Lord, that now you work in us by your Spirit to make us faithful. And I pray, Lord, that we as a people, we come before you now, we ask, Lord, together that you would make us a people who are faithful and who walk in accordance and in step with your Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that as we seek to make ourselves faithful and available and teachable, that, Lord, you would grow us in the knowledge of you so that we might love and serve faithfully as you call us to. And that as we do this, you would use us, Lord, to administer your grace to not just each other, but all the people in this community that you've called us to love and serve and proclaim Christ to. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.